As we go along through this lesson this morning, we'll have a few people read some scripture as we come across the point. But this is kind of I look at this lesson sheet and I look at the initials down here of some of these comments, people who have made these comments, and I'm not sure that I can completely agree with them. Maybe you can't either. And if you can't, then speak up. Let's talk about it a little bit. But this was a real tough one. This was pearls from Proverbs. Frankness finds favor. And it talks about the word rebuke. And that's a pretty harsh word. But let's look at what various translations, how they say it. This one word is rebuke. King James Version says, "He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue." The New American Standard Bible says, "One who rebukes a person will afterwards find more favor than one who flatters with the tongue." Another version says, "In the end, people appreciate honest criticism far more than flattery." Rebuke just seems to me to be really a raw, harsh word. And I personally like the word reproof. It's a little bit smoother, not quite in your face style. Aggressiveness, but I like the word reproof or reprove a little bit better. But they are basically the same words, aren't they? Rebuke and reprove. To me, it just seems like it comes across a little bit more smoothly. We can use words like decide, judge, correct, reprove. Those types of words all basically mean the same word. Reprimand is another one that we can use, but I think it has kind of the same flavor as rebuke. When you reprimand somebody, it just sounds kind of like an in-your-face correction, and that's sometimes difficult to do. 2 Timothy 4:2 reads, "Be instant in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." There's one common denomination in here that we can look at. It says, afterwards, they'll appreciate it. I learned that the hard way. After you get a black eye or two, then you... I had a halo on my head, but I still got reproved really bad. But, so we have to be cautious, don't we, is how we approach the person. When we see that they're having difficulties, making mistakes, and it's our time to reprove or rebuke them. They may not appreciate it at the time, but it says almost all of the rebuke comments made in the Bible and commands of the rebuke a person always has the outcome. What you should do with the right mindset, right? Okay. Let's take a look at this one here in our lesson today. Rebuking requires courage. How do you handle rebuking someone? Anybody? How would you handle rebuking someone? I'm sorry?
Shouldn't you do it with patience and kindness?
Okay. Patience and kindness. Carol?
You need to do it where you're alone with them and not in public so that they are not offended in any other way in front of anybody else.
Yeah. Matthew 18, chapter 18, Matthew tells us, if you see a brother that's making a mistake, you go to that brother privately. Yes, Margaret.
Don't you think Jesus always rebuked people in the same manner? I think it depends on who it was and what the infection was and how you associate it. Sometimes a rather strong word is at work, and other times a passion is at work.
Anybody? Thank you, Margaret. That was a good point. Yes.
You need to pray about it ahead of time and choose your words carefully and make sure that the beam in your eye isn't affecting the speck in there.
Yeah, you have to, you have to look at that, don't you? That's a lesson for all of us. You know, take the beam out of your own eye before you try to take the splinter out of someone else's. And that is a precaution, isn't it? You've got to really examine yourself. And I think the sincerity is there that, even though it's a lot easier to avoid that confrontation, isn't it? What about the person who goes around seeing these problems and yet brags on the person, flatters them? Yeah. Think they're doing in a good cause there? It's easier, much easier to do that than it is to confront them with their problem, isn't it? Bob, you had a question?
No, but since you asked me, I have an example. My wife, Janice, had an antique shop for a lot of years, and she developed a friend who had a husband that had a filthy mouth. And he came into the shop the first time that he met her. She met him anyway. And he went off in the mouth, as was usual. And she just looked him in the eye and told him, "I don't appreciate language like that in here, and I wish you wouldn't use it." And from then on, he never spoke a foul word in front of her.
Yeah,
that was a rebuke, and it was in front of other people. And so he not only got the message, but those around in the shop. And then she had people come up to her later and say, "Thank you for that. I appreciate that."
Yeah.
So that's just an example.
Exactly. Dean, did you have a question?
Well, yeah, I just found out, I like what Margaret had to say about how Jesus would rebuke different people based on the circumstances. And the difference we have between us and Jesus is Jesus knew the hearts of every man. Jesus knew the place of every man, and we don't. So we have to have a relationship. I have to know you. Now, like Bob said, in that kind of situation where you have this public offense, I think we stand up and we do what's right. But inside these walls here, for the most part, we need to get to know each other. So if I see Nolan falling down somewhere in his spiritual life, I don't believe any of these passages say, "Dean, you have to be perfect before you can go talk to Nolan." It's not a bad idea to be working on myself. But I'm going to go to Nolan because I love Nolan and I'm concerned about Nolan's soul. And I know that Nolan is concerned about his soul. And Nolan may not like what I have to say when I have to say it, but if Nolan is truly striving towards the goal, which is heaven, then when he steps back and he thinks about it, and he makes adjustments, that's when he appreciates what's being said. There are times when a person will stand in that pulpit and in a Bible class say something that's wrong. If they're a young person that is starting out, maybe we say, okay, let's wait and we'll take them aside and we'll allow them to correct it. And if they're an elder or they're a preacher or they're someone who's been established, we raise our hand and say, no, no, no. So we have to have a relationship. I need for you to know that I love you before I come and slap you. But if I love you, sometimes I have to come and talk to you harshly. The second half of that is what we're supposed to do. So I think that when he's talking about rebuking and then he says that that person will appreciate it later, that's a lesson in and of itself. When somebody comes to us and rebukes us, we need to step back, maybe remove ourselves from that situation, think about it, and make application if it's necessary. So it's a big, big subject with a really simple answer. I need to know you, and you need to know that I love you. Jesus loved every single person that interviewed, even the ones that he chased out of the temple with.
I think that prefacing your rebuking or your reproving has a lot to do with it, on how it's accepted. Most people don't like criticism, but it's still one of those things that sometimes is necessary. I used to have my family. We had 4 tickets to Autzen Stadium for football season tickets. Even though it's a family event, it's absolutely incredible the amount of profanity and stupidity that goes on in these thousands of people. It's a family affair. How would you like to sit next to somebody who uses constant foul language? I did that for years. I finally gave up the ticket primarily for that reason, because I just couldn't stand this guy and his foul mouth in front of his wife and his teenage son. So he set a good example. I tried to ignore him as much as I could. Finally asked him, I appreciate your kind of calming your language down. He immediately, defense came up and he was ready to take me out in the parking lot and whip me. Probably would have been hard to do, but, I was being as nice as I possibly could. Finally, somebody up above him, a great big guy, about 250 pounds, reached down and tapped him on the shoulder and said, shut up. I'm tired of your foul language. This is a family affair. And everybody around him clapped. They were so happy that somebody finally stood up. He didn't, he wasn't smooth about it. He said, just shut up. Keep your mouth shut if you can't say decent, clean words. And everybody around appreciated. So I don't know if he ever apologized or not, but he did shut up, which we appreciated. But, sometimes it takes courage to do something like that, doesn't it? And as Dean said, maybe you don't know that person all that well. In the rebuke here, under courage, 2 Samuel is referred to, and David and Nathan. You remember that David had his problems with Bathsheba, and tried to get away with it. He knew it was wrong, tried to get away with it. What happened? He even murdered her husband later in order to cover up his sin. Who had the courage to go tell him about that? Man named Nathan went to him and said, hey, you know, here's this poor guy that only has one little sheep. And the rich guy came along and stole that sheep. And he said, David just threw a hissy fit. Now you tell me who that is, I'll take care of him. What did Nathan say? You're the man. You're the one that did that. And even committed murder to cover his sin up. I'm sure, you know, and then like our paragraph here says, you know, Nathan put his life on the line, didn't he? I mean, David could have easily just kept covering it up and killing him as well. And yet David's heart was in the right place. And he recognized, you know, this is what I did. So he was appreciative of Nathan in the end, but I'm sure that he didn't like being pointed out like that to begin with. What about rebuking that may be painful? Yes, Bill.
It always seemed to me that rebuking is more like the guy that tapped that guy on the shoulder, and reproof is what we're talking about. It's more gentle. Rebuke seems to me to be very like, knock it off. So it sounds more like we're talking about trying to do reproof rather than rebuke. It's harder.
How can it be more painful? I think it depends a lot, you know. If you're that type of person that enjoys making other people uncomfortable, you're not going to accomplish much, are you? And it's not going to do the receiver much good in something like that if you treat them in a way that gets their defenses up. I used to get, when I was a kid, I'd complain or comment on somebody, well, you do the same thing. So their defenses immediately come up, and they were probably right. I did the same thing. So it wasn't very smart of me to point it out, but, you know, it's difficult to, it's a difficult thing to do, to present it in a way that doesn't offend someone. Yes, Margaret.
You have to look at why you're approaching it in the first place. Because are you doing it as mad? Are you doing it because you're trying to get your revenge? Are you doing it because you want to accompany someone?
Yeah.
And the reviews, I think, a lot of times that when this kind of strong, that might be the part where you're just really disgusted with you. You're going to take your apron.
The Bible is just full, Old and New Testament as well, about rebuking a person. We've not touched on very many of them as far as Proverbs are concerned, but Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, is full of that. Yes, Mark.
You read someone with an attitude of arrogance, you're not
going to do it. No. Yeah. So I think it all comes down, Noah, to, you know, why are we rebuking a person? What's our motive? Yes, Carol.
One of the things that
you need to make sure that you do, and that is to say, when you said this the other day, this is what I heard. That gives them an opportunity, if that's not what they meant, to clarify, and it was your ears that, and your problem, not so much maybe their problem. So,
yeah.
That's a good way to get in.
Yeah, you can, you, I've known a few people that are so direct. I mean, it's just like cold water in your face. Not the greatest way to approach a problem like this, that's for sure. But, Paul talks about when he has written his letters, he talks about and criticizes those that need to be criticized. And he said, it's painful for me to do this. I know in 2 Corinthians 2:4, Paul writes, out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love I have for you. And I think that that's the key right there. Out of love for one another, out of love for that person, not, for their soul. That's, that's what we need to take a look at, is to present your rebuking or reproof and kind of, just your entrance can be whatever, but to throw it up in someone's face like that, you're going to get a reaction real quick. And it's not the reaction that you want. It's difficult if you find a brother or a sister that's having difficulties. We're not only told about those things and why, but how we're commanded to, aren't we? The Lord commands us to confront that person with their problem. So, to do that, yes, Mark.
I'm going to go back to what Carol had mentioned about praying before one makes an approach to either reproving or rebuking. I think it's really, really good and important that we talk about the differences between the two. There are differences between the two. And I would submit that sometimes we, certainly I have, I probably lean sometimes more towards going into full-on rebuke rather than when I should be reproving somebody and thinking that it is reproving when truly it's rebuke. And I think sometimes it's easy for us, for Christians, to just start off rebuking. And maybe we don't even realize that we are. So, the manner in which we approach those differences is super critical. I would imagine, and I would submit, that probably all of us have experienced somebody who has probably been rebuked, and then we never see them. And there's reasons for that. So I think it's really, really critical that we add that prayer component to, either we as an individual or we as a group, when we are ready to or feel the need to either reprove or review, and we better know the difference. Because it can literally mean the difference between somebody wanting to stay or be a Christian or not.
Yeah, you can, that I've seen that before too.
Yeah, right.
It's very, very unfortunate because you may cause that person's loss of their soul. And so as we look at rebuke or reproving a person, you got to have that in the back of your mind. You got to be thinking about that. How am I going to do this and make this person understand without losing their attendance or their soul and shove them off on doing something else. Yes, Ted.
Paul gives us an example of that in Corinthians, when he talks about rebuking the man who thinks he's on the flesh. And then he gives us an example of not over rebuking that person to the point where they feel that they're completely lost or that they don't want to be a part of that congregation membership or that way, to the point where they're in control. So that it's important to review, but also to help that person who you review understand that when they have corrected them, that they are in good favor. So there's another component to review as well, that is the part that comes after the review, and that is to make sure that they understand when they have corrected their behavior that you appreciate.
Yeah, you have to approach this with love in your heart for those folks. Will someone like to read Matthew 18:15? Then we have another one, Luke 17:3. Also, if you.
Another believer stands against you, go privately and tell them that the other person knows them and confesses it, you will not listen.
About Luke 17.
Be on your guard if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him.
Okay. How about Galatians 16:1?
Galatians
16. Galatians 16. Oh, yeah,
6:1. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. I know we're talking about you. But also, if you're a Christian and somebody rebukes you, and if you want to be a Christian, you need to take it and look at it and act accordingly to how God wants you to act. You can't just get huffy and walk out and never come back again. I don't think you should if you want to be a Christian. If you're a Christian, sometimes you have to take the good with the bad. Or the bad with the good. Or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think the key words in that that Galatians letter 6:1 is in the spirit of gentleness. What does that mean? In the spirit of gentleness. Kind of at the opposite end of in your face.
Yes. And you can use
that's true. Yes. Ted, did you have a comment?
The next part of that sentence, and it's in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself. So understanding, you know, being gentle towards the person, but also understanding that you are not sinless either.
That's right.
That approaches from a point of experience that you've gone through this and you've been redeemed for this particular. There is a way out of it.
Mark?
Kind of on the spirit of gentleness. It is kind of relative to what is going on. And I guess the example that I would use is I have had occasion before where I've been fishing with somebody, and then, you know, for some weird and strange reason, they buried a fish hook in some part of their body. And the hook was barbed. And, you know, that person is suffering mightily. If it's a really good friend, it's kind of funny. But you want to help them. You want to be as gentle as possible when you remove that hook if you should remove that hook, but you want to be as gentle as possible. But there is nothing gentle about removing a barbed fish hook from somebody's flesh. It is all relative to what is going on. And so if I am approaching a Christian and I am going to be in rebuke of that person, and I have thought about it carefully, I've prayed about it, and I've chosen my words carefully, hopefully I have, in the spirit of gentleness, may me indeed, you know, a little sharper language. And, you know, what Anise said, she's right. I mean, nobody really likes to get rebuked. And if you do get rebuked and you need to be rebuked and you know you need to be rebuked, then it's kind of on you, and you have two choices. You stay and you can't figure it out. You talk with people, or you bolt and you're gone. And hopefully that's not the case. But ultimate point is making that rebuke or reprove in the spirit of gentleness.
What is the purpose of rebuking or reproving a person? What is the ultimate purpose? Bill?
To save their soul.
I'm sorry?
To save their soul.
Okay. Yes, Carol.
It's also to keep unity, because the more you walk together, we need to be unified in the same message and in God's message. So if one of us is going astray, we can't be unified.
Isn't it designed to create godly sorrow, repentance of that person? Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Not for punishing, is it? We're not out there looking to punish a person for their shortcoming. But it's there to make them aware of their mistake. Who would like to read 2 Corinthians 7, 8 through 10?
For even if I grieved you with my letter, I did not regret it. Even though I did regret it, since I saw the letter, grieved you, if only for a little while. Now I rejoice, not because you were grieved, because your grief led to repentance. For you were grieved, as God willed, so that you didn't experience any loss from us. For godly grief produces a repentance, not to be regretted, and leading to salvation, but worldly grief produces death.
There's so many things in Scripture that tell us the outcome Proverbs 3:11 just tells us to not be weary of the Lord's rebuke, for he loves us, and that's why he rebukes us. Proverbs also 15 says those who heed admonition are wise and will gain understanding. And we can go through those and lots of them in Proverbs, but others as well. So it's interesting subject, very, very difficult to do. I think you have to really think about it for a long time before you start reproving someone. Difficult to approach them on that level, and we just have to remember that it's because of love for that person's soul that you want to make it right, but you have to approach it in the right way to make sure that those people appreciate it in the right way. I didn't take criticism too well, probably still don't for that matter. But I learned the hard way, a couple of black eyes here and there, you know, and solved my problem. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate your comments, and we'll see you in a few minutes.